Good morning, man. Today I'll be sharing some of my own thoughts along with information from Pat Morley's book, How God Makes Men, with the hope that you will take a personal inventory of how you live your life as a man in a world filled with temptation and sin. Do you really know what it means to be a man? What does that man look like to the person you see in the mirror? What does he look like to others who are around you? More importantly, what does that same man look like to God? Take a good look around and you'll see evidence of what can be described as a man problem. This problem continues to grow and seems to be spiraling out of control and soon will become a global crisis if we do not teach other men and young boys how to become men with a spiritual moral who will then teach others how to be godly men. The number of families that are broken apart because they lack leadership and direction is staggering. A major factor in broken homes is that men under the age of 40 are most vulnerable to a corrupt world lacking morals, which is destroying the institutions of marriage and family. In addition, our government agencies, social sector organizations, and businesses are overstrained trying to cope with the downstream damage of an increasingly fatherless, angry, and dysfunctional generation. One may think that there has to be a way to fix this problem. Actually, there is. Chapter 9 in Pat Morley's book discusses the principle of making disciples, how God equips men to reach other men. There is a certain complexity involved with how simple the process really is. God simply calls, equips, and sends us to disciple others. However, we are not God. We do not have God's wisdom, and we are constantly under Satan's attack to resist God's ways. When we are not right with God, everything becomes complex and more difficult. Therefore, we must accept Jesus as our Savior and come into a relationship with God before we can call ourselves a man that God created us to be. By all means, we need to continue helping single mothers, pregnant teenagers, and fatherless boys. We need more of that, not less. But we'll never solve these particular problems without treating the underlying cause, which is that men simply do not understand biblical manhood. I'm so glad that I found a church with spiritually mature men who were on the lookout for guys like me. Knowing what needed to be done, they took me under their wings and began to disciple me into biblical manhood, and from the beginning, they gave me the vision to disciple others. For instance, Pastor John has impacted my life and the lives of so many people with his ability to preach God's word. Pastor Larry constantly uplifts the spirit within all of us as he leads the worship team singing songs praising the Lord. Many men at church have a passion for serving God, and they share their love with others. I remember listening to an interview with pro football player Brian Dawkins. He's a mature Christian. This is what he said: "The most valuable things I have are the people around me. Now that I'm older and more spiritually mature, I understand and appreciate the value of relationships. God also put Glenn in my life. Glenn in particular saw something in me that I didn't see myself. He actually believed in me more than I believed in myself. He spoke words of encouragement that unchained something inside of me. He gave me a vision to become a man of God and a man that God wanted me to be. That released a desire in me to become a man that I didn't even know was there. He started me down a path to become a man that I wanted to be, a godly man, a loving husband, a spiritual father, and a disciple maker. I give all the glory to God for sending these men to me. Each of them helped transform me into a better man, which has greatly improved my life. God has given us all a clear, simple instruction, which is to bring men into spiritual maturity. Mature men must take younger men under their wings and show them how to walk a Christian life. Don't forget, making men and disciples is part of God's plan. He equips us to reach other men. Why? Because it takes a man to teach a man how to become a man. The concept is that we first need to get men right in order to get marriages right. When marriages are right, then families are right. It goes on to say that if we get families right, we will get the church right. And finally, if we get the church right, God will change the world. In a very real sense, the remedy for everything begins with men's discipleship. This is God's plan. He calls, equips, and sends ordinary men to be disciples that will call, equip, and send others to do the same. Pat Morley asserted, "Our job is to be faithful, not to produce a particular outcome. It's the ministry of giving people a nudge, whether that's calling them to live in Christ, equipping them to live like Christ, or sending them to live for Christ. Simply be with them. The people whom God has placed in your path, nudge them along. Everybody deserves a nudge. And if you're a man, and you're the man who can do it." That's from Pat's book, page 155. I'd like to share a video with you which demonstrates how God uses ordinary men to disciple in an ordinary way with extraordinary results. For you who are listening to this podcast, I'll try to describe the setting of the video for you. James Daniel is near retirement age and travels in what he calls his prayer van. Most would say James looks like a normal older man, possibly a blue-collar worker, who speaks in simple words. In this video, he parked his van off the highway early in the morning and is sitting on a 5-gallon bucket. He tells how God called, equipped, and sent him to disciple others. I hope this story makes you realize how simple it is to be God's disciple.
Well, welcome to No Strings Attached, Homeless Ministry, and the Prayer Van. Today is a joyous day for me, and also a sad one at the same time. Today I'm in reflection of my six-pack. Now it's not the last six-pack I drank. This is what I call the six-pack is my six guys that God originally sent to me all at one time. He laid on my heart to rescue these boys. And just this week, the last one of them had passed away. And the sad thing about it is that all six of them, when they died, had nobody that even cared enough to even have a funeral or a service for them. Just goes to show you how some people can die and die alone. But I did everything I could for every one of them. I even tried to reclaim their bodies, but wasn't allowed to, by the state, because I wasn't their blood brother, and their blood brother or relatives. So most of them, all of them were veterans, so the Veterans Society took them and cremated their bodies and gave them veteran funeral, which was taking them out into the Gulf of Mexico and putting them, to sea. So they did have a going away, but this is one that I feel that is my contribution to them. They really made an impact in my life. So I'm going to do a small video for them. And I've got little fire starters here. And I wanted to sort of show or to explain to you what and how I felt they changed my life. Well, see, back in 2003, I was saved. And the day I was saved, God started my life. And he, in the process, he gave me a light. And he taught me what it was to be that little light, you know, that he wanted to shine. So he ignited my light, and then he reminded me of a small little song that I learned when I was a child when I'd go to Sunday school, and it was "This little light of mine, I want to let it shine. This little light of mine, I want to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Even though it's a small child's song, some of them would probably laugh about that song, but that song has a lot of meaning. It shows you just how little our life is, and how short it is. Our life is just one small blink of an eye. It's one little flame throughout this world, and that's all that we have. And he don't want us to hide this under a bushel. He wants us to take this life that he's given us and this love that he's given us, and he wants us to let it shine upon the world. And as we do so, we ignite other people's lights. And today I wanted to represent that. And that represents my life and how God ignited my fire. When these boys came to me, it was right after Hurricane Charlie hit Port Charlotte. And I went downtown to see the destruction and see what was going on. And there was six guys standing at the church. And they were in search of water. They couldn't even find potable water. And they had no way to sterilize water or whatever. 2 days before the storm, God told me as I was walking through the grocery store to pick up a small thing of bleach. I don't have no clue why. Well, I do now, but at the time I had no clue. I had no use for bleach at all. But in that process, he gave me the ability to listen to his voice. And to be a light upon the world. I took the bleach and I just put it in the back of my truck. Didn't even think twice about it. It just something that I did. I said, well, I'll leave it in there for a few days, and if not, I'll take it in the house. And who knows? Maybe Mama will use it. You know, maybe she has a use for it. But I went down to the church to see if I could help them, you know, help out, or, you know, just to see the destruction. And I wanted to see if it destroyed my church. And when I got there, these six boys were standing in front of the church, you know, cold, wet, half clothed. I mean, they were all in tears, and I drove up, and they came running to me. Can you help us somehow? Can you help us somehow? We're dying of thirst. We were sleeping out in the woods. Our camp got destroyed. All of our stuff got destroyed. We can't even find food and water, and wanted to know if I could help them in any way. Of course, at that time, I had six little bottles of water in my truck. You know, I had a little 12-pack, you know, that I bought, you know, that I always kept on my truck. And I used those, and I gave them to them, you know, to drink right there. And then also, he says, do you have anything that you can think of that can supply us water? And I reached back and I said, you know what, wait a minute. And I went and got that little bottle of bleach, and I handed it to him. I says, this will sterilize any water. If you can take water out of the ponds or whatever around here, and you can strain it and sterilize the water where you can drink it. And so they invited me back to their tent and, you know, the camp, and I went and I took them all back, which was about 4.5 mile walk for them. I mean, a big tree fell down and they even crushed their bicycles. They had them all lined up and it went right down and just destroyed every one of their bicycles. So I sort of felt sorry for these guys in a way, you know, but I didn't know what I could do. I'm just a one guy. I mean, I don't have nothing to give, you know. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for them? And the Lord started working with me on that. And each one of them, I spent day and night with these guys for probably a month, pretty much. Just go home and sleep. It's really what all I did. Any other time was going down to help them resecure little things that we can find on the streets that, you know, they can survive with, do things that will change their lives to make our life easier and better. God gave me a lot of talent, and He said to use His talent to fix them. So I did. That's exactly what I did. I went out and we scavenged pallets. I had 6 tarps that I used for my business. I grabbed those tarps out of the garage, and I threw them in the truck one day. And we come down, and I threw my air compressor and my gas powered air compressor and my nail gun and everything on there, and we went around scavenging pallets. Believe it or not, it was all we could find was pallets. You know, that was not claimed, or you know, that we could actually use. And so we loaded up my big trailer, and we loaded up tons of pallets. I mean, we piled pallets sky high on this trailer, and took them back out to their little camp area, and took my nail gun, and we started constructing. And in no time flat, we had what I call little pallet houses. We built little huts out of these pallets, and used the tarps to drape over them and to nail the tarps to them and to secure them. And we gathered twigs and leaves and stuff around, you know, and grasses, and stuffed the inside of the pallets, you know, full of them to keep it insulated, you know. And it's amazing, we ended up with 6 little houses, you know, for each one of them to live in. And we didn't even have tents or anything, you know. So, yeah, it sort of started that way. It was amazing how life changes you. But I had a lot of survival skills and a lot of different things that, you know, that I taught them. These guys, even though living on the streets, all they did was sleep on park benches and stuff. They had no true survival skills per se. I mean, they were all veterans, and they did go through basic trainings and stuff like that. They had a little bit, but they had a lot of knowledge that they couldn't just really put together. They had forgot a lot of that, you know, and then the drinking and things, you know, had changed them and changed their hearts and their minds. So they forgot a lot of things. And, you know, eventually I started working with them and helping them through all that and developing all this for them. Sitting around the campfires at night, we'd sit and we'd chat, and they would wonder why I was doing what I was doing. And I would, my kids and my wife would cook meals for them, and I would take them hot meals out every night, you know, to sit with them and to feed them. We even opened up our house for even the church members just to come and take showers at our home, you know, because we still had power and water. And we invited them all to have, you know, showers and things, anything that they needed or wanted, you know, they were welcome. There was a few that did take advantage of that. But these guys, you know, even though I was helping them, they saw the compassion in my heart. And then I would break off during the day. I says, well, I'm going to go work in the church for a while. Once things started getting to a point where they could, get organized, you know, during this storm. Afterwards, you know, all the supplies and the water, and there was a big need of handing this stuff out and of passing this stuff out throughout the community. So I went to the church and we started working diligently there, and a lot of the church members, you know, really took off and supported that. And it was just amazing to see how it changed the whole community. I mean, even the church members itself, it just drastically changed each one of us. And but what it showed me is how one little light, even though it shines very dimly, can reach down and affect others and ignite their light. Even though their little light was not burning for very long, God allowed me to sit there and watch them. Each one of them was, except the Lord, in their heart, at a campfire. And I was able to take out, spread that good news out throughout the land, just like God asked me to do. He wanted me to go out and make disciples. And even though the boys were really never really accepted by society per se, I mean, you know, they were rough. Every one of them were very rough, and a lot of people in society just didn't really know how to accept them, but I knew the love that was inside of them. I saw God work through them. And even though I was there to rescue them, they taught me a lot. And I think they rescued me. They actually taught me how to love, how to have compassion, what love and compassion really was. I think we learned that together. What the meaning of life is, why we do what we do, what we put our values in, how we learn together, how we walk together, how all only thing that life is an opportunity to share that love with each other at any cost. So that cost itself is, I guess, what changed my whole values of life, of what life really meant for me. It wasn't about the boy with the most toys wins. I dedicated my life to this. I basically gave everything I have, especially monetarily of value, to help others. Just a one-man guy. I've really never had too much support, you know, at any direction on anything that I've ever done, you know, throughout the 10 years that I've been in ministry. But I feel I've spent my treasures on earth very wisely. I think God's definitely has a store of treasures in heaven for me. And the reason that I did it, because I learned what love was, and what I had, and little bit that I had, and little bit that I shared, changed people's lives. It gave them the true treasure, and it was able to clear their heart and their mind enough to where they was able to see God through me. And that's exactly what God wanted me to do, was to be that light and shine and to be compassionate and to love each other unconditionally with no strings attached. That's one reason why my ministry is named as it is that he told me that I had to do this with no strings attached to it. At all. I couldn't ask anything from them. I couldn't ask any favors from them. They had nothing to repay, ever. I mean, it was just, there was no strings attached in my love. My love was to be agape love, only agape love, and true agape love. And that's exactly what I done, was to extend that love to the world. I really feel I was just one man, and I probably didn't make a whole lot of impact over my life. I mean, in the 10 years that I've been doing it, I mean, I feel that it's been so little, so small compared to other ministries. You know, it's, I see, you know, big ministries take off at the church there, and they, you know, they reach out and touch whole communities at a time. You know, hundreds of people come to them and receive their, you know, their offerings and their gifts and their prayers. I'm more of a one-on-one, one-man guy. I looked back just the other day, just because I've kept records of, you know, things, and I've never really, it's not to, you know, to put out to the world, but, you know, it was from my own personal, you know, use just to keep track of what, you know, what was going on and their names and things. So I started writing it all down in a book, and that book will never be seen by anybody. That's just my personal book. It's got a lot of personal information for them, and I keep it in a very secret place, and nobody even knows where that book's at, and they will never find that book. It's got a lot of, I kept it for my personal reference, because I have a hard time remembering things, so I have to remember that way. But as I started gathering information on these guys, I found out the Lord didn't want me to know. I wasn't supposed to go out and be nosy. I mean, it wasn't my concern on what they did or why they did or who they were. I didn't even care what their real name was. Most of these boys had nicknames that I talked to them. One was Red, one was Pops, one was Charlie, which wasn't even his name. I mean, there was Billy Goat, you know, Polly. I mean, you know, these are boys that that I love dearly. Carl, I mean, they're, you know, just each one of them had touched my life in such a way that I could go on and on and on with stories about each one of them individually. You look back on my YouTube videos, you can see a few of them that even I made with them, so you can get more of a personal touch to what, you know, to what each one of them were. But these lives were changed, and even though they have passed, one thing that I've been secured in my heart is that they knew the Lord. They truly knew the Lord. They truly knew what it was meant and what the purpose of life was. I've watched each one of those reach out and to help and to return that to the world themselves. Even though they had nothing, they still were willing to help others as just as bad off as they were, and they would sacrifice for them just to give them the easement and the lift up. And I think that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to help each other and protect each other and to love each other enough to even if it's giving our last piece of bread and splitting it with them and allowing them to have a bite to fill their belly, to share your last sip of water. These are things that I really feel that God wants us to do, to join together and to help each other throughout these ministries, because one ministry will help in some way, others ministries help in other ways, but all ministries need to be helped, and all ministries struggle, and even though there's a lot of them out there that fight the battle, we're all out there together, and I encourage each one of you to say your prayers. Open your heart. Ask God what kind of ministry and how you can fit in. It might not be doing the homeless. It might be just being a janitor at church. If that's what God's called you to do, you're going to be touching people's lives when you do that. So don't never degrade your ministry level of what you do. Even if it's just making a meal for someone or shaking hands at the door of the church, welcoming, you know, teaching each other to show a passion and love. You might be the only Bible these people ever read. So be careful and to always expel Christian values and to show agape love and to show God's love. Remember, God is love, and that's what this is all about. I've really realized that as I look out throughout the world, only thing I see that's effective is love. But yet love is so rejected. I don't understand that part. I'm still learning that part. I see how we even come in here through Easter time, how Jesus himself, you know, went into the city on his last days and was joyously welcomed. They had like a parade for him. I mean, they were waving palm leaves and accepting him, and just amazing how it was all working. And just a few days later, they ended up crucifying him. And he was innocent. There was nothing that, you know, that he had done. The only thing that he had ever done was show love. And so it shows compassion, you know, but also what it showed me was how we as people can actively reject love and compassion. How we can be programmed to be so cruel and to hate and to be so judgmental to each other. But I think our goal in life is to overpower that and to truly find out what it's all about, you know, and to live a pure and holy life in walking God's love and to be God's love and to represent Him truly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let this fire burn down, and just in honor to my six friends, in honor of their death, I'm going to go on and probably at sunset today, I may build a little boat or something out of cardboard or something, and put the ashes of this fire in honor to them. And send it off. Yeah, I don't know exactly where, how, but that will all be private. I won't put that on a video. That's just my honor to them. And, so go out and try to help someone. Because I tell you, when you help others, you'd be surprised at the blessings you receive and how it will touch your life. Because in Matthew 10 it says, it gives you a whole instructions of what Jesus, and how he instructed his disciples to go out and be a prophet, to go out into the world and to make disciples of men, teach them to be fishers of men. And I think that's what it's all about, you know, is he wanted us to learn to teach this love that is so, and to break that bondage of hatred and to break that bondage that, you know, that we tend to normally want to gravitate away from, and hopefully one day learn to accept that love, because each one of us is guilty of that crucifixion. It was our sins that crucified him. So remember, be very careful in saying, oh, I would never do that. Because each one of us would if we had the opportunity or in the right situation, we'd be joined right along with him. So, like it says, pick up your cross and follow me. Picking up your cross is a very strong statement. Pick up all your burdens of the world, all your sins of the world, and carry the load. And you know what? Sometimes, just like in Jesus' case, sometimes we have to carry each other's load. I think, what was it? Simon? I can't remember the guy's name, but he was one that was pulled out of the crowd to carry Jesus' cross because he was so weak he couldn't. So he even carried that burden for Jesus, and he was a very strong man, very wet and beaten, and it was still tough on him. So sometimes, just goes to show us, sometimes we have to help carry that cross and that burden for someone else. So if you ever seen me gather more than I can carry. By all means, lend a helping hand. Because we all work together to carry that burden for the world. So, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to meditate on these boys and their lives. Say prayers for them. And I finished today. I'm so emotional, I'm sorry, but I get this way every morning. I do my devotions before sunrise, and the sun is coming up. I have carry a lot of burdens, because I go through all my friends and I pick up all their hurts and pains during the day in my prayer. And this is when I lift them up to the Lord and say, Lord, let me be free of these. Let it rescue the friends and their pains and their sorrows. That maybe one day they can help and do the same. So, just want to say to the ones that's out here that watching this, I do appreciate your support. I appreciate your love. You've been very kind and very loving to me. This is just a video to help you see what I do. And to, as I grow and learn, I'm not perfect. By all means, I'm never perfect. I'm probably one of the most broken men you'll ever meet. But I'm a work in progress, which so are you, and so are we all. But we learn to be fixed and purified by the fire. And we allow ourselves to become the God that God wants us to be, and the light and the shining of the light. And just remember, all together you make a huge flame for the bigger part of the world to see. But if you separate them all out, each one of them just a little flicker, that if you're hiding it under a bushel and you're not being able to let it shine and join with others to let it shine even brighter, your fire will soon go out. And then you'll find yourself sitting in the darkness once again. Never let that happen. There's times throughout your spiritual life that you'll feel awful lonely out there. And sometimes you'll think that your little light's not shining. You may even walk a time of your life to where you feel like you don't even hear from God. Your prayers are going unanswered. Things are just not going your way. You're going to live persecution. God warns us of that every day. So, always just learn to walk in that faith, because the walk of faith is the strongest thing and the hardest thing I've ever learned. That's the whole journey of the prayer band, is a thing to teach me about walking in faith. I mean, to take off and go out into the world with nothing. I mean, literally nothing. Not even gas in my gas tank. And have faith that God will provide, and have faith that God will carry me through, and teach me to find little ways along the way to be able to make a few dollars here or a few dollars there to, you know, to put gas in that van, or to survive on soup, beans, and cornbread if that's what's needed. I'm willing to do that. I've dedicated my life to it. So my whole goal is hopefully to get others to find their unique way of life, to be able to go out and share that ministry, and to share the love of God, no matter what your sacrifice is. and be willing to give it all. That's what he asked for. Give it all. Because I tell you, once you get rid of all of it, especially all the stuff, you have no idea of the freedom that you have. You're no longer burdened by the world. You're no longer trapped by those devils and those demons and those other gods, you know, holding you back. All those desires that you have in your heart that drive you so insane of wanting the big new house and the big new fancy car and the big boat and all the, you know, the fancy toys, all that soon fades away because you come to realize that you enjoy life because of life, not because of the stuff. And I get more enjoyment out of life to watch another person's life change. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but when you can see someone broken and God allows you to sit there and with them and to witness with them and to show them what, and once you see it happen, once you see God go into another man's soul, it's an experience that you'll never know how to explain that. Thank you, Lord. The only one thing I asked when I got up from my prayers is I said, Lord, let me have an opportunity to give what I received to just one person. That's all I asked, is I wanted to extend that love to somebody else just to give them the experience of what I just received. When I got saved, God changed my life so drastically and so radically, it ain't funny. Anybody and everybody that knows me can tell you exactly how radical he's changed me. And they've watched my walk over the years and they've seen what happened in my life and how I am. And like I said, I'm not perfect and I never will be. But I'm willing to learn every day. So all I ask from you is take your moment. Have courage. Let God give you the chance to experience something that is just the most amazing thing in your life. And that's to share that love with somebody else. So by all means, go out and be disciples of men. Go out and make disciples. Teach them to walk. Teach them to stand by each other and to be strong and to burn their lights together and to be the flame God wants us to be. Eventually, we can't turn this world back around. The problem with this world is that all of us Christians sort of separate ourselves away from each other, and our lights come dim, and the world is now mocking us and making fun of us, and all we have to do to get God's blessings to turn back around for us is to regather ourselves and to start supporting each other and to come back together and to fight the fight together. I think that's what God Himself wanted us to do. And even though our intentions are strong.
All right. Hopefully you got something out of that video. I know it touched me deeply, and it just reiterates that God makes men by a process of calling, equipping, and sending us so that we can also call, equip, and send others. You see, God calls ordinary men, just like He did when He called Peter and invited him into a relationship, as He did with all 12 disciples. In Mark 1, verse 17, Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Peter wasn't perfect. He was an ordinary fisherman. He was a sinner, but through humility, faith, and repentance, he followed Jesus. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Disciples give their lives to Jesus, then witness to others so that they can follow him as well. And in Matthew 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." See, Jesus equips ordinary men. Jesus tells us the challenge will not be easy, but he will equip us for the challenge. And this is shown to us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, when Jesus says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Also, some will not listen nor accept the word of God. So don't be discouraged. God gives us that encouragement in Matthew 10, verse 14, when he says, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet." Also, you may come across negative people who will attack your faith. And we get a warning from Jesus, who gives us words of wisdom when he says in Matthew 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." See, God understands that we're going to be under attack, and just that we're an easy target, but we can have the wisdom to avoid any kind of mishaps. Also, about being ordinary, you don't need to be educated or articulate or a person of status to share God's word. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, it says, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour when you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." He also states in Matthew 10, verse 40, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Then we have to think about being sent out as ordinary men. See, we're supposed to share God's word with the lost, sinners who need a relationship with Jesus. In Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Jesus picked 12 men not only to be with him, but also to send them out to make disciples. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it states, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And then when we think about being sent, making disciples begins in the home with the family. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, it recognizes that our first and most important ministry is to our wives, if you have one. In Proverbs, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, it says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that he respects and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Second, after your wife, the most important ministry is with your children, if you have any. In Psalm 127, Verse 3, it states, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And also in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Finally, after your household is in order, you can begin discipling to others. All kinds of people need discipleship, especially young men. You can make disciples anywhere and at any time. So remember, God gives us a calling, He equips us, and then He sends us so that we can call, equip, and send others. I hope you've enjoyed today's lesson. I hope that you pray and ask God for guidance and courage to go out and be the disciple, to go out and be the man that God created you to be. God bless and have a wonderful day.